I bring you greetings from Havisville, Virginia, that little map dot on US 211, a home of my new home and of the farm from which I came. You know, Amosville is conveniently located 60 miles west of Washington, D.C., between and paradise. The topic I want to address today is a little bit unusual in terms of spiritual understanding. As a matter of fact, it's kind of outside our baseline of understanding. I am not advocating the existence of the subject matter, but looking at it in terms of a comparative religious belief. And I've entitled this piece, "A Paradigm is More Than 20 Cents." How punny. Well, maybe. Popular culture and mass media have been saturated of late with depictions of and stories about demonic possession and the denominational religious practice of exorcism. The Exorcist, written by Mr. William Peter Blatty in 1971, was reportedly inspired by the case of one Roland D. in 1949. Interestingly, that case reportedly originated in Cottage City, Maryland, and the possession began shortly after the afflicted was first introduced to the Ouija board by a spiritualist aunt. Since the publication of this novel and the subsequent cinematic debut of the screen adaptation under the direction of Mr. William Friedkin, the topics of demonic possession and exorcism have been mainstreamed in popular culture. This interest in both demonic possession and exorcism will be examined with this piece focusing on an investigation of demonic possession, while the part two will examine the spiritualist paradigm in the context of both topics. What led me to this? Is I'm an avid reader of the news, and I go to a news aggregate site in which there's no news produced at the site. However, links to stories from the London Daily Mail, the New York Times, the Washington Post are all linked. And I was being overwhelmed as I go to the site and look at all the stories about possession or exorcism currently. And so this inspired me to write this. Demonic possession is a topic that has been present in most of the world's religions since antiquity. Demons were referenced by the Assyrian, Babylonians, Chaldeans, Gnostics, Hindu, Sumerians, and Zoroastrians, among others. Writing in The Origin of Demons, Mr. Chris Ward stated that the Greek made reference to daemon, and the Muslim wrote of jinn, which were created by Allah and were either good or bad in disposition. The jinn had a supernatural ability to shapeshift into many different forms. The Talmud wrote of mazikim, who were created by God on the eve of the first Sabbath, but were intended to be spirit without body. Both the Old and New Testaments made reference to demons and evil spirits. In the biblical context, demons are typically thought of as the fallen evil spirits who fell from God's grace during the war in heaven, but are the disembodied spirits of the giants Nephilim and the Gerbers, mighty men prior to the flood. Now, the actual list, and there has been a list compiled of demons, is actually quite long, with one reference listing over 202 separate demonic names. Perhaps the most important point to consider is that demons have never been incarnated into the physical realm, such as have humans, and that they are not possessive of a soul. The Bible lists Satan, as commonly referred to as Lucifer, as once having been God's favorite angel who fell from grace and has become God's adversary. Now, just as many of the world's religions addressed their understanding of demons, they also wrote of their ability to influence or harm humanity through several different ways. The following types of demonic influence can be found at www.exorcismrites.com under the title Exorcism Rites, Rituals, and Prayers of Exorcism and Deliverance. I was struck by that there's a website devoted just to this. The different types of influence are temptation, especially in the time after we've made these New Year's resolutions to avoid our favorite dessert. External physical pain, possession, oppression, obsession, infestation, and subjugation. We'll talk mainly just about possession because that's what has been shown us through the media, especially in the movie The Exorcist. Possession is when the demonic force takes control of the afflicted's mind and body and exerts full control over the individual's actions while their soul remains innocent and blameless. As I was doing my research, I came across this, that several avenues of demonic possession have been identified by both Catholic and Protestant authorities, including, but not limited to, the use of the Ouija board, visiting a medium, celebrating Halloween, reading the Harry Potter series by J.K. Rowling, Wicca, and the practice of Satanism. Now, exorcism is the religious rite typically employed to aid the afflicted of demonic possession, although it is thought to be effective against other types of demonic influence. Now, exorcism in the Roman Catholic Church is viewed as sacramental, but not a sacrament, as is baptism. The Catholic Church revised the rite of exorcism in 1999, but its recitation in Latin is still common. The rite must be performed by, at a minimum, an ordained priest and only after sanction by the local bishop. There's a rigorous mental evaluation by the psychologist, psychiatrist, and other medical doctors because some of the actions displayed by the person are commonly associated with mental or physical illness. Now, Wikipedia lists the following as signs of possible demonic invasion: loss or lack of appetite, cutting, scratching, and biting of skin, a cold feeling in the room, unnatural bodily postures, and change in the person's face and body. Now, you can understand from listening to this and understanding why there is commonly psychological, psychiatric problems can actually be misinterpreted as being of demonic origin. That's why to qualify for an exorcism in the Catholic Church, the afflicted must be evaluated thoroughly by a psychiatrist or a psychologist. The possessed being losing control of their normal personality, entering into a frenzy or rage, and attacking of others. There's a change in the person's voice, supernatural physical strength not subject to the person's build or age, speaking or understanding another language which they had never learned before. Now, what does that sound like to you? Well, in spiritualism, we've embraced what's known as xenoglossy. It's the speaking in an unknown language. The Bible may call it speaking in tongues, but we know it as xenoglossy. But that is often or sometimes misinterpreted as a sign of demonic possession. And given the similarity of these signs of possible demonic possession listed above, it has become quite obvious as to why a full psychological, psychiatric, and medical evaluation is required before embarking on down the spiritual path. Now, the resource material that I reviewed for this piece indicates that the Catholic rite of exorcism largely died out in the 1960s, but it has made quite a resurgence in terms of its employment and in the growing numbers of those trained in exorcism. Now, the Vatican has a chief exorcist, one Reverend Gabriel Amorth, aged 89, who has performed numerous exorcisms. Now, Mr. Ron Dicker, writing in the Huffington Post on May 13, 2013, interviewed Father Gabriel, who stated that he has performed over 160,000 exorcisms, noting that he once performed up to 20 exorcisms per day, but has cut back to only 4 per day. I can't even imagine if he's performing 160,000, how many were rejected because of the medical, psychological, psychiatric evaluations beforehand? Father Gabriel is not alone in his spiritual warfare. The Daily Beast in 2014 noted that the Catholic Church indicates that it is dealing with a spike in satanic worship by training a growing team of specialized priests to keep the devil at bay. The article noted that every workday except Thursdays, 76-year-old Father Vincenzo Caraborelli receives parishioners with a particular spiritual dilemma after the 8:30 a.m. Mass at the Church of Transplantina. The article continues by noting that Caraborelli, who says he performs up to 100 exorcisms some weeks, is part of a new training program in Italian Catholic churches designed to teach priests called to this particular specialization. So they're actively going out and recruiting priests and other clergy to do these the Catholic rite of exorcism. And then the Huffington Post, in an article dated May 13th, 2014, stated that on Sunday, the 9th Annual Exorcism and Prayer for Liberation Conference wrapped up at the Pontifical Anathema Regina Apostolorum in Rome. It covered the phenomenon of demonic possession as well as the specter of Satanism, both of which are threats that Pope Francis believes are pressing and real. Now, demonic possession and the practice of exorcism is not confined to the Catholic faithful, but it is also a growing concern in Protestant circles. Evangelical churches typically address demonic possession and exorcism under the rubric of spiritual warfare, which is actually actively being waged in the 21st century. Now, perhaps one of the most noted Protestant scholars writing about spiritual warfare is Dr. Ed Murphy, who authored The Handbook for Spiritual Warfare, which addresses the continuing battle against satanic influence. I also uncovered that the Reverend Bob Larson, and I read about this just recently, the Reverend Bob Larson claims he has performed more than 20,000 exorcisms in the past four decades. Now, he's unique in that he offers to banish demons via Skype over a 60-minute exorcism cost $295. Again, this is over Skype. And it's considered a tax-deductible donation to the International Missions Program. I actually, in researching this, he has Skype sessions on YouTube, and you can actually see what he's conducting on through Skype. Now, perhaps as an example of the growing popularity of the occult and Satan worship, which to the denominationalist underscores the need to engage in exorcism and spiritual warfare, was a recent celebration of the Black Mass in a public building in what is known to many as the buckle of the American Bible Belt. They had actually a celebration last year of a Black Mass in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, in a public building. Ms. Carla Hinton, religion editor of the News Oklahoma, wrote on 9/21/2014 that the city of Oklahoma issued an event permit for payment and signature to Adam Daniels, leader of the satanic group Dachma of Angra Manu Syndicate, for the use of the City Space Theater at the Civic Center Music Hall for a Black Mass. Now, I don't know if you've been to Oklahoma City, but I've spent quite a bit of time in Oklahoma City, and it's a very conservative, Christian-dominated community. And it caused such tremors of protest that someone was actually going to hold a Black Mass that number of protesters far exceeded the number of participants by probably a factor of 10. And the religious community was inflamed by the issuance of this permit, but the Satanic Temple relied upon protections afforded by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which of course guarantees freedom of religion as the basis to thwart legal challenge. This was just a brief primer. I tried to cut it down just a little bit because a lot of research went into this. Next time I speak, I'm going to go into the, put this in terms of the spiritualist understanding, because as our chair remarked, we have no dogma and no creed. And we'll see how this paradigm will, how the phenomena, that many of the denominationalists are embracing as far as the exorcism and belief in demons fits into the spiritualist paradigm. So that's next time. But right now, I'll just leave that with you with God's blessing.